Time now for Minnesota Reads this morning here on KUMD. And our book this morning, If Bees Are Few, A Hive of Bee Poems, edited by James Linfesti. He's our guest this morning on the line. Hey, Jim, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Nice to have you on the line this morning.
It's a joy to share the honey of words with you.
Bee puns.
Bee puns to start, and I'll open with the title poem. The title for this anthology of poems, over 100 poets from around the world and throughout time, are in this book called If Bees Are Few, Hives of Bee Poems, published by University of Minnesota. But the title comes from Emily Dickinson, and it's this. You know, she'd ask herself a question you might never ask yourself, Lisa. How do you make a prairie?
How do you make a prairie?
To make a prairie, you need a clover and one bee. One clover and a bee. And reverie. Reverie alone will do if bees are few. Well, that little four-line poem tells the whole story right here of where we stand at this point in the 21st century. And about this book. This book, all the proceeds of this book are dedicated to Dr. Marla Spivak at the University and the Bee Lab at the University of Minnesota. It was just opened last month. Very exciting. Leading bee research institution on planet Earth. And every poet in here, living and dead, donated their proceeds to help build that bee lab, and all the proceeds from this book go to that.
And they have the bee squad that you can call if you've got a question,
right.
And it's fascinating.
Yep. They have the bee squad, and you can Google that, and they'll send somebody out, and they'll give you all the information you want if you want to be a backyard beekeeper. If you're a professional beekeeper, you know all about them, because they do seminars, and they're the go-to operation. And they're doing pioneering research because bees, as you know, are in deep trouble. And that, I followed the work of Dr. Spivak at the U for years as a journalist. And so when I left the Star Tribune in 1998 to become a writer and a poet, this is a wonderful crossover opportunity. So I was able to solicit poets from all over the world, and from the great American Indian poet Sherman Alexie to the current poet laureate of England, Carol Ann Duffy, who first ever, by the way, female poet laureate in the history of England. In fact, I'll read her a poem. How about that?
Would you please?
Here's one from Carol Ann Duffy from her book called Bees. Here are my bees, brazen blurs on paper, besotted buzzwords, dancing their flawless airy maps. Been deep, my poet bees, in the parts of the flowers, in daffodil, thistle, rose, even the golden lotus so glide, gilded, glad, golden thus wise. And know of us, how your scent pervades my shadowed, busy heart, and honey is art.
Jim, there's a completely different conversation about why you wasted all those years working for the Strib when you could have been working in radio and using that voice. But that is a completely different conversation that we'll have to save for another time.
Yeah, I have a good radio voice, but I assure you it sounds to me like some rumbling deep in a cave in some mysterious Chinese mountain. But
there's a place for that in radio, though, Jim. And like we'll have to do a follow up on that at some point.
Yeah, I can all recite poetry to you all.
What I'm curious about, though, is as a journalist, there are so many different causes. There are so many different areas that you no doubt encountered in your career, and so many different ways and places for you to turn your time, your attention, and your talent. Why did you select bees?
Well, it isn't only bees, but I've written about the environment in varying ways for 40 years. I mean, and that was my beat was energy and the environment and education at the Star Tribune editorial page, and I'm very interested. As a journalist, there's two sides to everybody's life. There's the external world and the internal world. And in my external world, I work on these things all the time. I will not talk about the recent election. And I still work on these. You know, I'm interested in the world, and I've been studying the effects of various environmental machinations in the natural world for a very, very long time. And, of course, the story of colony collapse disorder has come about. And this is a real crisis. the crisis has been, and that's probably, you know, 10 or 15 years ago that beekeepers began to notice that their hives were suddenly not, they go out to forage and not return, and the colony would collapse. Well, a leading researcher in that world is Marla, Dr. Marla Spivak at the U, and in fact, she won a MacArthur for an amazing bit of work. You know, beekeeping is a patient art, and she's the supreme goddess of that art. And she discovered that certain queens produce cleaner hives. And one of the major insults to bees is an imported mite from Asia called Varroa destructor. And it's like you and I are carrying around a 50-pound backpack our whole life. You know, it doesn't kill you, but it makes you tired. And that's what they have. They're born with these bloody mites on them. Well, she's figured out that certain queens raise broods that ran cleaner hives, basically. And so she created a whole new line of queens that has really helped beekeepers. That was what won her the MacArthur, but now they're working on many, many more things. A sad piece of information, for example, probably about 30%, at least 30% of the wild bee species in Minnesota alone, which is a relatively clean state, are extinct. Only in the last 100 years, because of the way we farm and the way we do things. And nobody means ill for the bees. In fact, so back to this book, because what I discovered is that there's at least a 2,500-year relationship in poetry between bees and humans. And there's a 5,000-year relationship, at least, between bees and humans going back to the Egyptians. And it's all positive. Bees have been giving us honey for 5,000 years, or at least we've noticed it. And that's been a beautiful and very productive and friendly relationship for all those years. And the poets have recorded this. That's the stunning thing. So you'll find poems in here that go way back. Virgil, in the first century BCE, wrote one of his long, long poems, a Georgic it's called. It's basically how to keep bees, how they understood keeping bees in Roman times. In fact, before that, the most famous female poet in the world, up to Carol Ann Duffy, was Sappho. And one of her fragments is, because mostly there are only a few poems they found whole in thousands of fragments of her poems. And she's from the 6th century BCE, and her line is, "Neither honey nor bees for me." And that's all we know about her understanding of this, but we know that she wrote, she incorporated bees.
Bees were on her radar,
in her life. And, you know, and the Greeks kept, so, and the old skips, those old woven skips, you know, in which you kept bees, those have been around for thousands of years. Now we have, of course, the hive boxes. But
Jim,
it's an old art, and it's in deep, deep trouble. So,
Links set up not only to your book, mm-hmm, but we'll get mm-hmm some links set up to Dr. Marla Spivak's work and the Bee Squad so that folks can not only enjoy the book of poetry, but they can find some additional information about bees at the same time.
Tell them give this book for Christmas because it tells two stories at the same time. There's nothing like it. It's a beautiful hardbound from the University of Minnesota. There's a gorgeous design of it. It's all over the world. And it's just a little piece of the puzzle of what do we do to help our beloved planet heal.
Reporters, they never miss a trick, do they? Jim, thank you so very much for joining us this morning.
To talk to you. Thanks for the show, and I'm sorry to hear the weather report.
You're down in the cities. You'll get yours too, Jim, believe me.
We're going to get it. Okay, take care.
Thank you, Jim. Jim Lefensky, our guest this morning on Minnesota Reads. The book, If Bees Are Few, A Hive of Bee Poems, was edited by Jim. He's a former editorial writer for the Minneapolis-St. Paul Star Tribune. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.